Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren, and with me is Sarah Wells and the return of Megan Jade. Megan, how are you?
I'm great, and you just made me sound like a Star Wars film, so I feel pretty good.
Yeah, well, I'm not a fan of Star Wars, but...
Okay, that doesn't shock me at all.
I was going to say...
What is that supposed to mean?
I mean, you're not a fan of anything that's good in quality, you know?
I don't like Star Wars either.
I actually...
Ew!
You know, I will
yeah,
say
but that's
this.
That's because you're a fan of Broadway.
This is
going to
make people very upset.
True.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry, Christian.
Go ahead.
I actually really like the newer Star Wars films over the older
Probably
Star
because you're like a 12-year-old boy and you love Jar Jar Binks.
Actually, I would say he is the bad... part of all those movies.
Well, thank you. Because I feel
that,
the same
yeah.
way.
I'm a big Hayden Christensen.
Oh my gosh! Probably because like in your earlier days, you wished you could look like him or like.
I wish I had the little what's that rat tail that he had in all the Star Wars?
The Jedi braid.
I totally wanted a Jedi braid.
I even
braid.
Knew what that was.
Wow, you guys are.
Anyways,
very interesting.
Hello, fans out there. Glad you guys are still tuning in after 18 weeks here. And, you know, Megan, it's really good to have you back. I'm serious.
I'm actually really glad to be back. I was really upset last week when I missed it.
Yeah.
Because I
too.
Did not think that we would be recording on the 4th of July. And it's okay. Christian's just a slave driver.
Yeah, I am a slave driver. I lay the hammer down, you know, because.
Leading with an iron fist.
That's right. Well, just so you guys are aware, today's show, during the sermon feedback time, we're going to actually invite producer Andrew File in here to take my place, because that'd be weird if I talked about, you know, how great my sermon was.
Blah, blah,
was
just...
How awesome I am.
Yeah. Toot my own horn.
We are going to have Kevin Tinkin back to lay on some more fart jokes for the news.
Absolutely not. I will say this. I was driving listening to that episode, and I wanted to scream and turn you off, and I
was
so upset.
But they were funny. You have to admit.
No, fart jokes are not funny. I can't even say that word without wanting to, like, cringe.
Well, to each his own.
But it's
right?
Okay, because you both are, like, very
young. Oh, it was
young
such perfect timing.
Yep.
Such
right. It was funny. It was funny for the sake...
Oh, it was funny?
No, the jokes weren't funny, but it was funny for the sake of the fact that I wasn't there and you guys were doing something that I literally despise.
And it was so out of nowhere. I mean, it really just caught me Christian off guard.
Yeah,
really we fell out of our chairs.
Also, we're going to interview a friend of mine. His name is Lance Reynolds. We're going to talk about volunteering in middle school and high school groups. And Lance actually has no idea that this is what we're going to talk about, but that's what we're going to talk about. We're also going to talk about Chick-fil-A and go over what our one and why is, which was our favorite 4th of July memory and why. We'll read some of your guys' emails during that segment as well. We'll also do some announcements at the very end. It's going to be a good show. Now, for music, I feel like I've gotten a bad rap for the music that I play on this show. So I've let kind of Sarah have the ropes for the last 2 weeks. So what's the music for this week?
Today we are listening to Carrie Job, and she's a Christian artist who sings really, like, I want to say cheesy Christian songs, but they're so great. And the reason why I love her is because all of her songs are just filled with solid truth. And when you play them in your house, it's just like truth floating in the air.
I just want to interrupt real quick. I have to interject something. When do you guys have these secret meetings about, like, the music and, like, filming on 4th of July? Like, am I, like, what
we
am
work
I?
In the same, we work podcast. In the same.
No, I will say, all right, hold on,
well
hold
in
on.
To be included?
No, here's what happened with the music. Sarah walked by my office and said, you know, I don't really like the music Lifehouse, so I'm going to choose music this week. So
no,
that's kind
no,
Sarah?
I did not say I want to choose the music. You said, well, why don't you choose the music then?
I don't believe that's
I can see
went.
That out of anger. You just said, well, you do it.
We'll include you in more meetings, okay? Is that fair?
Maybe I'll just camp out at the well all day long like
all
you
right,
guys do.
Fair enough. All right, well, enjoy some Carrie Job. Up next, we'll have some sermon feedback with producer Andrew File.
Heal all my All right, and we're back. My name is Andrew File. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, so let's do some sermon feedback. Christian's message, he talked about, Luke 18. What was terrible about it?
Man, you know what? I actually have to come to Christian's rescue today. His defense, I guess, if you will. Because I was so impressed by his sermon. I really was. Mm-hmm. I listened to it and I just thought, man, like, he was so solid in like everything that he said, and you could just tell he put so much time into studying what he was talking about and his story, and just everything was so good. And I just felt really challenged by, I feel challenged by prayer in general, but I just think Kristen drove that point home, and I was really, really challenged last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Megan, you want to give us a little synopsis in case somebody wasn't
there? What's my name?
Sarah.
Oh my gosh. Finally, someone calls her by the wrong name.
Hey.
Kristen used to do that all the time to me, so.
Yeah.
Christian spoke on Luke 18, 1 through 8, called The Persistent Widow. And what the story is, what the parable is a widow approaches a pretty horrible judge and says, "Judge, please avenge me from my enemies, for my enemies."
From?
Avenge me from my enemies. And she goes one time and he says, "No way." Goes in a second time and says, "No." Third time he says, "Okay, because you are persistent, I will avenge your enemies." And he talked about, I have to remember all the details.
This is just really a quiz, okay, just to make sure you're paying attention.
He said basically, like, how much more loving is God than this wicked judge, this evil judge? How much more loving and how much more that he wants to answer our prayers when we're persistent?
And he gives us what we need and not what we want.
Right, and that's the hardest. He used two different forms of justice.
Yes.
Restorative and...
Retributive.
And we talked about restorative and how that is what we need.
Not what we want.
And God gives us that. And how I really liked when Christian talked about the fact that God answers our prayers. He always answers them. And that's not necessarily in the way that we want them, because we can't actually handle those answers at that time. And I just love that Christian talked about the dog and how for so long he wanted it and how he never really could have taken care of a dog, but he just wanted it so badly. And when he got married to Lacey, it was like this timing 10 years later that he could have this dog. And like he said, as trivial as a story about a dog is, it just shows like how trivial we get in like our desires and wants for things that we don't actually need or can't actually have or take care
of. Well, and thinking through like all the prayers that I had as a high schooler, if I got everything I asked for as a high schooler, life would be horrible.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And
even now, when I think through the things I pray through now, and I think, well, I've grown up since high school, and I pray for mature things now. Yeah. No, I still don't pray for what I really need. I pray for what I want. And I'm so glad that the Lord doesn't give us what we want, but he gives us what we need. And I'm so glad that we have a Holy Spirit that intercedes for us and can speak into areas that we don't know that we need to pray for.
Yeah, he said something along the lines of, like, our hearts need to be changed so our hearts align with God's heart. And I think that's something that so often we think prayer is just this one-way dialogue, that we're just telling God all these things. But I think what he was hitting on is the fact that God is changing our hearts in the process of continually going to him. And then we see the bigger picture slowly, obviously not when we want it, but, you know, that God's heart is kind of becoming our heart, you know.
Go ahead.
I was just going to talk about the second half was praying through God changing our hearts, not necessarily our circumstances, because I think we pray for a change of circumstances so much when the problem isn't in our circumstances, it's in our hearts. Because there's people in my life, I know their life could look like one giant horrible circumstance, but their hearts are good and they're content and they're happy. And then there's other people where you look at their life looks great. They have great circumstances, but they're miserable because their hearts are miserable. When really, so it has nothing to do with what's going on in our life, has everything to do with where is our heart in that moment.
And I love that he read Christ's prayer, like the example of how to pray. Because last night as I went to bed and I like thought through like, okay, so I have all these prayer requests. I have all these things I feel like I want or need. And I started to like really think through again, like how to pray and how to pray for joy and how to pray for like just my heart to be different. And I just noticed that my prayers were more about praising God and asking him for things like in my heart change, rather than like lifting up this entire list of like all of these crazy things that I think I need in my life or want in my life. And so that was just such a good reminder of the ways that we should be praying and how the Lord knows better than we do what we need and what our hearts are longing for. And so that was just a great reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that story at the end was pretty powerful.
Yes.
About the, yeah. I was like,
I literally had like goosebumps, like crazy mm-hmm. goosebumps.
Yeah. I thought that was a great way to tie it up. And, you know, just, you know, miss, I think the idea there was we miss God, what God is doing so often because we have our own agenda.
Yeah.
And it's just, we come to God with so many things we want and need. And,
and really, we need to think through what's the purpose of prayer. Is the purpose of prayer just to say, okay, God, here's what I see wrong in my life and here's what I want to fix in my life and just start going down a list? Or is it to really communicate with the Lord and spend time with him and listen as much as we're talking to God?
And I feel like a lot of times the motives of my heart, at least, are to get things from mm-hmm. God rather than having a relationship with him. And that's absolutely, I mean, that's a perfect example of the story that he shared. Like, he wanted that car. He didn't want yep. the Bible. But yep. Yeah, it was just, that story just blew my mind. That was mm-hmm. great. I honestly started to feel really awful for that son. Like, oh my gosh, he's going to live for the rest of his life with tremendous regret because he was so selfish. And I think that's a good point for us to realize, like, how selfish we can be in those motives and how it's preventable.
Yeah. I remember asking for a car when I was 16 and begging. And Christmas morning, I went out and I looked outside and there's no car. And I was just so sad. But now looking back, I think, I'm really glad I didn't get a car. Yeah. That would have been just one that I wouldn't have been good for me.
You never would have gotten the oil changed.
I never would have gotten the oil changed.
It would have already been
That car would have been in some graveyard somewhere.
Yep.
Just like my other car.
Your dad knew.
Yeah, he knew. Mm-hmm.
Where did you guys listen to the message? What campus?
I listened to Midweeks.
I was at Clovis. So one I got live.
One of the cool things, I was out of town, came back in, but one of the cool things, I got to see it at the 7 o'clock, and Lacey, his wife, was leading worship. So I thought it was just really cool to see them together doing, you know, using their gifts and what God's mm-hmm. given both of them to for the well as a whole. So it was a really, you know, a little fun addition.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, great feedback, and I guess Christian didn't do too bad,
Can I say one other thing about Christian being on stage, because I got to watch it live? Christian looked like a natural up on stage giving a sermon. I was telling this to Megan, that he didn't seem nervous, he didn't seem like he was stuttering over words, he just got up there, did his thing, and then left. And he just totally was a natural giving a sermon, and I was very impressed.
Well, one of the other things, what did you guys think of the Spoutcast shout-out?
Oh, loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was perfect. The way that he did it, he was like, hey, guys, I know Brad introduced me already, but like, I'm Christian. I have do the Spoutcast. Like, he just was so like easy with it. It didn't seem like a shameless plug or anything. It was just like this great, like, this is what I do.
Well, I held up my Spoutcast sign. Was that inappropriate?
Probably. I just wore a shirt that said Spout.
I did at the 7 o'clock. I did go woo woo, and then Christian paused, awesome. Laughed, and then kept going. So that was pretty awesome. Good. But you guys are pretty much famous now.
Oh yeah,
he mentioned your name from the front.
Our names. Yeah, I was like, wow.
Yeah, like.
That's... And we got someone that said that became a fan on Facebook and started listening and said, "Hey, you mentioned it yesterday. I really want to check it out." He told Christian.
Wow. So. Now I feel like he maybe should have said, "Listen from this episode on," because some people are going to start at number one, and I just hear. That's not a great place to start.
Yeah. Listen, we grew. They will see where we have been and where we have come.
Yes. There's a lot of growth and maturity.
I don't think that made sense.
I think fans are just fans are going to start flowing in. So, you know, I'm excited for you guys.
90 on Facebook. I mean, we're getting it.
10 more and we'll hit 100.
Wow. Party.
Party. All right. Pizza party.
Well, up next, news with Kevin Tinkin.
Can't wait.
And now the news with Kevin Tinkin.
I want to be friends with my friends. I'm going to read some news. Right?
Right.
Right.
Kevin,
right.
That reminds me of UConn Ho. You're my friend, and you're my friend, so let's be friends.
Those are my favorite things ever.
Friends?
Friends.
Friends, yeah.
Being friends with friends.
With my friends.
All right. So, hey, Kevin, before we get into the news, we really missed you last week, by the way. And so last week we decided not to do the news. And so I actually talked about five movies I didn't like and five movies I liked, okay? And one of the movies that I didn't like was Cars 2.
Really?
And I really believe that this upset a lot of people. In fact, we got a voicemail from somebody who's in the movie that we upset. So I would like for us to listen and comment, okay?
All right.
Well, I tell you what, I can't believe you called. Talking on your spatcast, talking bad about Mayor, walking around with your red hair, rubbing on them old towns and whatnot, talking about the crazy Twilight movies and whatnot, breaking my heart, saying I'm stupid, I can't believe it. I won't stand for it. I'll put you underneath my tires, and that's a guarantee.
So Mater called.
Don't talk trash.
I love Tomater.
Don't talk trash.
Dude, I feel so bad for him right now. You really hurt his feelings.
Oh, I just feel like I don't like him.
Maybe we should have him on the show.
No, I really would not like to have him on the show.
I thought that was a good movie. There's a good lesson in there and everything.
No, there was not.
There was good lessons.
Did you see the movie?
Yeah. Yeah, they were all hugging.
So the lesson that you're pulling from in that movie, Kevin, is that you're going to be an accidental hero. Is that you have to do absolutely nothing in life, and if you just trip or stumble upon something, then you're going to be a protagonist.
I think what it shows is that, you know, it's the content of your character.
Just do your news.
You know, it seems like it's not about works, which is the...
Because you just do your news.
Grace.
Yeah.
Because I bet you got some serious stuff now that Megan is back.
That's some really serious stuff. Well, first off...
I like your tie, Kev. That's really great.
No tie today. Hey, by the way, did you like that? What do you think? Did you like that? Did you like it?
The news that you brought?
Yeah, it was very
serious.
Loved
it. It was very awesome.
Did you like how I rounded off?
I really just can't wait to
hear today's. Wait, but when you started out with the serious news, did you feel like, oh, this is serious. I'm liking this.
Did you feel vindicated?
But then when he ended it, it was like, just perfect.
How did you feel?
Well, I think that the whole thing was ruined when you ended it. The first part was kind of good, but then like it all went away.
I don't know.
Me and Sarah loved it. So.
We loved the fart jokes.
Yeah.
What's the sharpest thing in the world?
Why is this happening now? I'm here. This doesn't happen when I'm here.
All right, Kevin, you bring some news. All right.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna try to bring it on your level a little bit. So if you've recently moved into a Bay Area Redwood City apartment, your dog's poop might have to get tested for DNA.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And there it is, everyone.
It's very important.
California in a nutshell.
It's very, very
important. Can I guess why this is happening?
DNA.
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
All right.
So the owners of the Redwood City apartment complex are sick and tired. They're sick and tired of people taking their black labs and having them poop all over the premises. So they're testing for DNA. They're doing some CSI stuff.
And, to find out which dog it was.
Yeah.
To find out which dog it was so that basically you can get in trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah, but like you'd have to sign your dog over in order to get it tested. You don't have to do that. It's your property.
Well,
you don't have to let them do that.
The poop is their property? Or?
You don't sign a contract that says if we want to test your dog's poop, we have to let us. I would say
can we
no.
call it feces?
I would decline
no,
that.
No, you know what I feel like it does is I had a dog in an apartment building and we would let it poop and like sometimes we wouldn't clean it up
poop.
And they would get upset at us, you know? Was this just this news story just for the excuse to say the word poop?
Yep.
All right.
Gosh, I feel like there's fire breathing through my nose right now.
Well,
I'm turning into an evil dragon.
Let me quench that
like
fire.
The dragon on your shirt. Oh, that's a tree.
Quench the fire.
All right.
Quench it.
Olympic Park, Olympic National Park visitors are urged to not pee near the trails.
All right.
Feel better?
This is more potty humor than last week.
Do you have anything to do without excrement? Like, do you have any news that doesn't have to do with like
Olympic National
feces.
Park in Washington State urging hikers not to urinate along the backcountry trails to avoid attracting mountain goats who lick the urine deposits for salt. The advice is part of a plan to avoid aggressive goats.
That
actually have attacked people walking by. And it's not that funny because somebody got really hurt.
That's the funny part.
But I just love
which
it.
Which is really sad.
That the park rangers are like, you know, they're down there and some guy just pulls off his glasses. He's like, we got to get these people to stop peeing. Poor guys are getting gouged by goat horns.
But I wonder if, are they attacking the persons whose urine they're smelling?
Yeah, they're testing for DNA.
No, I think it's because they're just there. They're trying to get their salt.
I wonder
on.
Why they're attacking.
They're just aggressive. They're aggressive mountain goats.
I don't know if you ever told this story on here, but you told this great story about a ram whose like head got stuck in like wire. Do you remember telling us that story?
I think I did. That was from like four weeks ago. Yeah.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was like one of my favorite stories.
It was in a foreign country. I feel like you should have a goat story every week.
I'll do my best.
All right.
The goat.
Challenged.
You got any other news stories for
us? I do. I actually have two. I'm going to hit you with some criminal geniuses out there.
All right.
So this one was titled, "Does My Client Look Stupid Enough to..." That's the name of the story. So during a pretrial hearing...
Say it again.
"Does my client look stupid enough to..." Uh-oh.
How do you spell uh-oh?
U-H-O-H.
So,
with an exclamation point. And then it says in parentheses, "Raise your shoulders rapidly up and down." Apparently,
does it also say for one of our co-hosts to just slump back in their chair and look very angry?
Yeah. No, it does. It's specific about that.
I may or may not have to leave this segment every week just to go to the bathroom or something.
During a pretrial hearing, an attorney for Howard Wingding Jones of
like
Norristown, Pennsylvania, attempted to get his client's bail reduced from $150,000. The attorney argued that Jones, accused of being a drug dealer, was not at a risk to flee. At that very moment, Jones jumped up from his seat and ran out of the courtroom door.
Wow.
So that was pretty good. He's not going to run, I promise you. And then he gets up and leaves. So another one. I want to hear the one
that I told you about.
Yeah.
And we'll save the rest of them for a later day. How's that? I'm in.
You're going to just do another one?
I'm just going to do another one. No, did you say you wanted to hold on?
I have one.
Let's let Megan do one and then all right.
Oh.
We'll hold on.
Megan, I know what Megan's going to say.
Megan, go
so
for it.
So this really has nothing to do with, you know, cats or dogs or yards or rams or animals. Apparently the well really cares about animal news.
No, nobody cares about this stuff.
Go ahead, Meg.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so, I mean, this is, like, not in place at all right now, but I really, really would love to talk about the Casey Anthony trial.
Oh.
Did any of you follow that?
Nope.
I do know what you're talking about.
Christian, did you follow it?
I have read about it.
Okay, you did not follow it. Sarah? No.
What?
Yes.
I know everything about the story.
Okay.
Well, I know everything because we were eating dinner last week,
and I told you.
You talked about it for, like, an hour, and I learned everything.
Okay, so the verdict this week was that she's not guilty on three accounts of different, things that having to do with the murder of the child.
Okay.
And she was convicted on four accounts of lying to police, which made her serve 4 years, but with good standing and already serving 3 years, she's out on July 17th.
Really?
Yes, and I think...
Whoa-oh!
Right. I mean, the verdict has already come, like, it's already there. Obviously, there's no going back and changing that. But I wonder what her life is going to look like.
You know what that's called?
Outside.
There's no double jeopardy.
Yeah.
I watched a movie about that.
Called Double Jeopardy with Ashley Judd.
Yeah.
Awesome. You're educated.
This was the lady that was accused of killing her younger sister, who she was babysitting?
Her child.
Her child.
Yeah.
Her child.
She called like a month later and said, my child's missing.
Like 31 days later and then reported. Yeah. And actually, it wasn't even her. It was her mother who called to report the child missing. So she had no intentions of reporting. Anyways, so I just wonder, like, I was thinking about, you know, what does it look like for her, like, her reputation and her life to be restored after this trial. Now she's not guilty. Her family has received death threats.
Yeah.
Most of the American public feels like the jury came to the wrong conclusion. And I was just thinking, like, what does this woman's life look like afterwards? Does somebody like that who suffers from just such a painful trial and whether or not she murdered her kid, obviously her kid is dead, so she no longer is a mother to this little girl. What does that look like afterwards? Like, what? I feel like she's going to be living within her own prison, you know?
Well, yeah, but you could say the same for OJ as well.
Well, he's already in prison.
But for something completely...
Yeah, but he's still in prison.
Double jeopardy.
Uh-oh!
I mean, this woman, there really is no justice for this little girl. No one is serving time for the murder of this
probably,
kid.
That's the worst part about the whole thing.
But she's 2.5 years old.
I think she really will live in her own prison for the rest of her life because she'll be estranged from her family because she's already sold them out. And she's not going to be able to have a normal life after this. So she's going to live with the guilt and the sadness and the... you know, yeah. all that for the rest of her life. So she really, justice will be served there.
I just think it's a really heartbreaking story. And
it's totally heartbreaking. However, on the opposite side of it, you could say that this woman may never think about it again. You think she might be living in her own prison, but she might be so mentally screwed up that she legitimately believes that this never happened, and right. she already has some sort of mental issue, and it never crosses her mind ever once.
Yep.
Right, and that's, I think, ultimately my point is that, like, for this two-year-old girl, there's no justice that was served, and I feel, you know, I don't know. It was a really interesting case because I feel like I saw a lot of interviews about legal truth and about right and wrong and how the justice system doesn't necessarily serve a purpose to, like, it's supposed to, like, sometimes it mingles with right and wrong, but it's legal truth. Like, is this legal or illegal? Not necessarily right or wrong, because a lot of that jury said, you know, I don't believe she's innocent, but we don't have the evidence to prove it. Therefore, she's not guilty. So that's just a really interesting conclusion that in our justice system, somebody might get off on the legality of whether or not they could prove something. But in, like, your heart of hearts, you know that this woman was guilty. And that just bothers me. That doesn't sit well with me. Yeah. But
burden of proof.
Yeah.
Gotta have it.
Is that a movie?
No, it's the way
the legal system works.
That could innocent be a really good movie
title. It's the prosecution's obligation to show the burden of
proof.
You
can't convict somebody based off a gut feeling.
Right.
No.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah, well.
Anyways, this was a conversation that didn't seem to go over quite well, so.
It's very serious.
Let's move on to some more poop news.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm all about. All right.
Megan.
Yeah, I legitimately sit in this room every week, and whenever I say something serious or irrelevant at all, you all look at me with these, like, stares of.
I had good things to say. I contributed.
Yeah, I contributed.
I did not, in fact.
almost wanted to change the subject.
I made 4 or 5 jokes throughout this process. Now, I'm just going to shut my mouth right now. All right.
This needs to be a safe haven.
Yeah.
Here for a place for people to come and feel the warmth of my voice and the poop stories and pee stories that go on throughout the world.
And, I agree.
Am I wrong, Megan? Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
I'm not sure I'm the person you should ask for that affirmation.
Well, let's close out this segment. Kevin, thank you for being here.
Well, hey, you missed the big one.
There is one big news segment that maybe we should. Do you want to save, or do you want to just quickly announce it?
No.
All right, go for it, and then we'll close it out.
I'm going to do it.
And producer Andrew's going to get mad because this episode is going to go long.
Sorry, Andrew.
Go for it.
But there are t-shirts coming for the Spoutcast.
I received a letter in the mail, a actual handwritten letter in the mail, and part of the letter said, P.S., have we discussed t-shirts yet? I would totally rock a Spoutcast tee. And so we want to know how many listeners would actually rock a Spoutcast tee.
Raise your hand where you are.
Yeah.
Get
before
a count.
Before we go and just, mass production, 2,000-3,000 of them. I would like to know if anybody would like them. And also, if we ever did them, it'd probably be in a month or two. But I think that is big news for Spoutcast listeners. So you guys think that would be a good idea?
Let's hand them out at State of the Church.
We'd give them away instead of iTunes cards.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, right. I feel like it's incredibly self-indulgent. And then I found out that Casey Jackson's going to be doing them.
Casey Jackson is now our creative director.
Yes.
So I just wanted to put that
up. I thought, well, I mean, he's going to make it look good. And then I can be self-indulgent.
I think they should be V-necks.
My question is, how are we going to pay for them? Am I going to pay for them?
I'll fundraise.
All right.
Let's have a fundraiser at Chick-fil-A.
Ooh. All right. Well, up next, speaking of Chick-fil-A, we're going to talk with my friend Lance Reynolds, who works at Chick-fil-A, but we're also going to talk with him about high school and junior high ministries. Thanks, Kevin.
Yep.
All right. welcome back. We are with a friend of mine. His name is Lance Reynolds. Lance, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on. This is a big moment in my life.
Yes.
Every Monday evening, an hour of my life is devoted
Monday
to this
evening. Podcast. How do you get it on Monday?
Dude, Dave Johnson is a rock star. He gets it
it's
up there.
It's definitely up.
Technically, I post it, but I didn't know that it posts on Monday night.
Yeah, it does.
Really? What time?
I'm still choosing to credit Dave Johnson.
I'll credit Dave Johnson.
Yeah.
Well, he is our sound director, so.
This is
true. He's our engineer.
Or our audio director is there what I call him. Yeah.
And we have come up with a new term. It's Spoutcast official when it's mentioned. Like, it's beyond Facebook official. When you said Casey Jackson was the graphic designer, it's now Spoutcast
official. Gotcha. Now, wait, awesome. So on Monday nights, what, like 9 o'clock? Or I don't really know when it pops up.
I don't know
up.
Whenever it uploads
Interesting.
On my iTunes.
Well, hopefully we try and get it to you as much on Mondays as possible. That would be a bummer if you didn't get it on Monday night.
You know, it's like my fix. I kind of
right.
need that.
So then the question I ask most everybody is, are you a fan? So you are a fan.
I've been listening since like week 8.
Week 8's a good week to start. Week 8's around when Megan started showing up. So that, I mean,
I think the first week I listened was when Brian Potter was on talking about the
okay.
That was week 10. That
the
was
worship
our
CD?
I think that was one of our best episodes.
How do you know that was week 10?
Because
Sarah?
I remember week 10 is my favorite episode and Brian was on it.
There you go. Because do you have a favorite episode, Megan?
Oh, I love the episodes that Brian is on. So, week 10.
Is that what that sounded like?
Kinda.
Oh.
I love Brian Potter.
I mean
we talked about German board games and we just love Brian.
Wait, do you really not have a favorite episode? My favorite episode
my
is episode
favorite,
one.
I'm gonna be completely honest with you, and this I don't want this to sound bad, Sarah, because I love you to death. But my favorite episode was when Sarah was in Israel. Only because of the things that we talked about. Like just because of the content, not because you weren't here, but because of the stuff we talked about that
Whatever.
Day.
Whatever.
Wow.
Was like the
Lance.
Sermon, every the sermon discussion was like really, I really enjoyed it.
Good. Do you have a favorite episode, Lance?
Do you
even remember episodes?
Gosh, I really enjoyed the episode that Brad was on when he was talking about, it was right before we started.
Oh, the parables,
series
yeah.
about parables. And he nice. Just talked about the whole idea of we're going to test ourselves as a church. This is going to be our litmus test and we're going to see how much do we rely on a single communicator as compared to just the word of God being opened up? So I really enjoyed that.
What if that was our one and why? Your favorite Spoutcast episode. Are we there yet?
We kind of just did it.
I don't know. We maybe got to get past like, we just did it.
Oh, maybe we need to get to like 25
So episodes. Lance, tell us and listeners out there a little bit about yourself. So I know you, but maybe somebody who listens.
Right.
First of all, you're like a listener, and so the people can relate to you. You
this
know,
this is true.
Yeah. So tell us about yourself. What do you do?
Well, as you mentioned, I work at Chick-fil-A down the street. Been working there for just over a year now, and I've been doing middle school ministry and student ministries in general for probably about 5 or 6 years. When Jeff Bachman came on staff at the Well, that was when I jumped on.
Right.
Just have a heart for junior hires and spending time with kids and. It's just been something that I feel like God has just put a passion in me for. So that right there, those two things take up the majority of my time.
So you've been kind of at the student ministries from not just junior high, and I wasn't even around when you showed up.
Right.
But kind of the evolution of student ministries.
Definitely.
Has it been a cool thing to see them grow and whatnot?
Yeah, we actually just graduated. Our first seventh graders, when Jeff came on staff, when I started volunteering, just graduated from high school this past June.
Nice.
So it's kind of cool just to see those kids that I started pouring into their lives when they were seventh graders. Now all of a sudden they're graduating and going on and doing their things. But to go from literally we had 4 junior hires when I first started, and now we're up to on a regular basis, you know, anywhere from 70 to 80,
right.
so on and so forth. So it's been really cool to see the evolution and to go from primarily at Fig, then to primarily at North, and then kind of North and Clovis.
Right.
And
now back to North.
Yeah. And it's been cool to see the staff get bigger. When Jeff first came on, it was pretty much just him and a bunch of volunteers who, you know, obviously not being paid, but just doing their thing. And then Stacy came on as part-time and you came on and Adam does some stuff. And so it's been cool just to see those pieces kind of get clicked on to what God was already doing. Cause even before Jeff came, there were a group of
Stacy was kind of doing stuff.
Stacy, Eric Nazelrode, Jen Ramirez, John Troxel, all these guys that were kind of
OGs.
This organic OGs, these organic people who really didn't, like, it wasn't official, like, well,
right.
but they were hanging out with kids.
I'm really trying to get Sarah Wells to join the junior high group. And so what would be something that you could say to encourage someone to maybe want to volunteer in the junior high
in
group?
The junior high. One thing that has always just stood out to me with junior
high. Or
in
the high school group, by the
or,
way.
Or high school as well. Yeah. The one thing that has always just made junior hires, I'm going to turn my face to Sarah
well,
right now.
Can I clarify? there's no convincing needed. It's right. just I'm trying to figure out if it will work.
No, definitely. The one
I'm
thing
just
is,
using you as an example okay. for him right. to talk to as though he's talking to a larger audience.
Awesome. There you go. Because he is talking to a very large audience of
like 90
multiple
people
plus. Thousand.
The one thing that has always just jumped out to me about junior hires is that they're kind of in that stage where they're no longer kids, so you can talk to them about real life stuff, and they're going through real life issues, but they're not to that high school too cool for school stage yet.
That is
so
exactly why I love junior hires.
If you mm-hmm. get into their lives when they're seventh graders and you start to make that connection, because it's tough, and you know, perfectly honest, when I would join a high school group, it was tough for me to come in and feel like any of these people really
right.
like that I'm meeting for the first time. But when you come into junior hires, they just have this vulnerability to them, where they're much more willing to just kind of let their guard down and just talk. And you still get to have that goofy side as well, where right, you're going right. to be playing stupid games and giving out rock stars and whatever. So that's just been all the thing that's always drawn me to junior hires. But then high schoolers, obviously, like one of the things that I love that we do here at the Well is we give leaders the opportunity, if they want to, when their eighth graders move to high school,
right.
you can keep going with that group.
Right.
And so you have the potential to stay with a life group, with a core group of young guys or gals for 6 years.
Right.
And it just really allows people to just pour into, like, one of my good buddies, Jared Miller, has been with the same yeah. group of guys now going into their fifth year. They're going to juniors.
Jared was an eighth grade leader when I started.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, and he's just like, he has such a strong connection with some of those kids because he's just been doing life with them for 4 years now.
Right. Hmm. So, I mean, part of the reason why we brought you in here is we wanted to, you know, just give a little bit of a push for junior high and high school. I know that Jeff and I, yeah. we love as many leaders as possible, and I feel like I have an avenue to ask people mm-hmm. about it. So,
use it.
Sorry. Sorry that I made that happen, but
well, and I also think as the ministry is getting bigger, there's more opportunities for you to serve in a way that God has led you. In the same way that if you come in on a Sunday, there's so many. There's First Touch. There's Ada. There's worship. There's, you know, all of these different ways that you can get plugged in. As student ministries is getting bigger, that's changing as well. Where it's right. not just we need you to be a life group leader, but it's like, dude, can you lead worship?
Right.
Do you want to just be like a games, a connections, an MC type person?
Right.
So that's one of the things that's really cool.
So if you want to get involved, you should contact me. You should first listen to this Spoutcast, and then you should contact me.
Well, if
they're hearing this,
right
they're
now?
Listening.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. All right, sorry. You should contact myself, Christian at thewellcommunity.org.
I thought you were about to say yourself. I thought you were going to drop your digits.
No, not dropping my digits, but however.
You could call 321-SPOT.
Spot. But Lance, another thing is I think you're a good guy and we're friends. And so I just want our listeners to get to know you more on a personal level. And so that's why we're going to do our one and why. Okay.
Cool.
And so last week we had our 4th of July episode, which Megan is still a little bit bitter about. Didn't know we were recording on 4th of July, but I hope we're cool now about it.
We're totally cool.
All
we're
right.
Totes cool.
Totes.
So
I thought it'd be fun to just share our favorite 4th of July memories, and I'll share mine first. Then you guys can go from there. Cool. Because I'm a big fan of 4th of July. I had a great 4th of July.
I love 4th of July.
My favorite memory is recording the Spoutcast. No, this is not my favorite 4th of July.
My favorite memory was listening to the Spoutcast.
But I do have a rather sort of serious thing. I mean, it's not that serious. But it was a highlight of my 4th of July. When I was younger, for 12 years, we went over to my cousin's house. And that's the best way I can describe them as my cousins. They weren't blood, but we went over to their house. And they had... I have a cousin who is has Down syndrome, and he's greatest guy ever, and his name's Billy. And so we'd go over there every 4th of July, and we would always swim, hours and hours of swimming, because in Davis, it's about as hot as it is here in Fresno. Mm-hmm. And so we would go to Davis, from Davis to Antioch, which was just as hot. And in Antioch, we would literally be swimming all day, and Billy was a big fan of the television show Baywatch. You guys familiar?
Oh gosh, I can only imagine where this is going.
And so Baywatch was his favorite television show, loved it. And so literally for 8 hours of the day, we would pretend like we were sinking, and he would jump in with his like Baywatch thing that he bought from like online or whatever. And this wasn't even, this was before online, and he would jump in and save us. And it was the most fun we ever had. And we literally just sink to the bottom, and then we'd wait for him to like literally pick us up and save us and give us pretend CPR.
I love that.
For every year, it was his highlight of every year. And he'd show up, he'd be like, Baywatch, anybody, anybody? And so we'd just be ready. And so literally we'd just jump in the pool, sink, and he'd save us. And then we'd do it all over again. And he pretended like he was Mitch, who was David Hasselhoff.
Awesome. Yeah, so
that's my favorite 4th of July memory.
How did we top that?
That's why I started first.
I blew some stuff up.
and ate a hot Megan, dog. Can we go with you?
My best 4th of July memory was when I was a sophomore in high school. I think I was going into my sophomore year, so it was the summertime. And obviously, because July 4th is in the summer.
Correct.
Going into my sophomore year, we went on a missions trip with my a few of us from our leadership team at church. And we went to Henderson, Nevada, where there was a church plant. South Hills Church Community, and they were just starting out. And we went and we did this, just basically like went around and put up signs for the church and just basically did all these projects that they needed us to do. And we threw this like 4th of July celebration in the evening. And then at night we hiked up this hill that overlooks the strip, basically. Nice. So we're in Henderson, we hiked up this hill and we were sitting and we could overlook the entire strip. And it happened to be really stormy that day. So there was a thunderstorm going on as we're sitting on this hill.
Those are real fireworks.
Yeah, right.
Thunderstorm is real fireworks. Forget it.
So you're totally ruining my story. and what happened was, so we're on this hill watching lightning, and down below over the strip are fireworks. And it was just like this comparison between like,
I'm sorry, I ruined
God's fireworks
there.
And like man's fireworks. And it was just like so powerful to see
that's
like
so cool.
Lightning in the sky as like, you know what I mean? So much
totally.
Bigger than what we have created in
totally.
Our own little... I mean, these fireworks...
You didn't feel unsafe?
Not at all.
All right. No,
but like these fireworks looked like... The fireworks over the strip looked so small in comparison to the lightning. And it was just like this really cool experience. And we were able to pray over the strip and over the city. Right. And I just loved it. It was like probably one of my best memories of ever.
That's also great. Like a difference in perspective. When you're on the strip and all you see is the lights, everything looks so big to you. But then when you get up higher and there's lightning and everything, you're like, wow, we are actually very small.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Cool. Lance, what is your one and why?
My 4th of July, kind of what Christian said, I don't really remember a specific 4th of July memory. I just remember that I grew up on a cul-de-sac, so it was really easy to just like cut off part of the street and not allow any cars through. And so what we would do, and I just remember all of our neighbors coming out and just really communal, just everybody, like there'd be like only like two or three barbecues out there, but everybody using each other's barbecues, all the kids playing together. We just had this awesome community with
nice
all of my friends that were on the street. And you know, we'd play like street hockey during the day, and then it would get darker, and so they'd get the fireworks out and all this type of stuff. So yeah, not kind of like yours, not really, even though yours was a little more specific.
Yeah,
but just I remember every summer just the 4th of July block party. And
yeah,
it's been something that as some of the, like, my dad passed away around 10 years ago now, a guy, our next door neighbor, their dad passed away. So as people moved away or as people, like, life changed, like, it just doesn't happen anymore.
Right, right.
So it was this really cool thing to see how a group of people just every 4th of July just got together and did this thing. And,
right.
And just an awesome, awesome
I got to start
some
sort of tradition like that. So
yeah,
I need
sure.
a pool, first of all.
Well, and I wonder if it's something that's generational, like something that our generation...
just doesn't pick up.
Hasn't picked up as much. Maybe it's something that will come along, but right now, just not as much.
Totally. Sarah, hit us with your best shot.
hit me with your best shot. My favorite 4th of July memory. I love the 4th of July. It's probably one of my favorite days of the entire year, so it's hard to pick one. But a favorite was a couple years ago, 4th of July was on a Saturday, which was fun. And I was living in Santa Cruz this summer, and so I spent with Sarah Roby. We spent the day on the beach with actually our musical guest last week, Molly Jensen. She was there for this day also. But we hung out on the beach. We went and played, I think, Frisbee or threw a football around.
You threw the bee around?
Yeah, I threw the bee around. The Frisbee, that is. And then we hiked up to the top of Mount Hermon, the hill, and watched the fireworks over the city. Nice. So we were like, we were above the fireworks.
I've
so
done
pretty
that
cool.
before in Scotts Valley.
Yeah, at Scotts Valley.
Yeah, those are great.
Yeah. So it was a definitely a really good 4th of July.
Those fireworks in Scotts Valley are always really good fireworks.
Yep, it was fun.
So we got some emails this week from a couple people saying what their one and why was. I'm going to read one, and then Megan's going to read the other one. The first one is from Jennifer Serban. I do not know who this is.
We've never gotten an email from Jennifer Serban.
Jennifer, glad you're a fan.
Welcome
are you a fan on Facebook?
Show.
You should get a bell, so when it's a first-time emailer, ding.
I like
they do that.
Jennifer,
talk shows a lot.
Jennifer
like
said, that. Some of my favorite things were celebrating my daughter Madeline's 4th birthday and watching my husband and brother-in-laws trying to figure out the craziest way to launch themselves down and or over an inflatable water slide. One for the record books. This Madeline and husband sound like an insane duo because I would not do that with a 4-year-old daughter,
no.
like launching kids up and down a water slide. But Jennifer, we're glad you're listening.
Welcome.
Just please don't hurt your kid next 4th of July, okay? Now, Megan, I believe you also have an email.
I am so proud to read this email.
Good. Go
for it. The subject
of
it is I'm back. And it's from our dear friend Wes Crockett.
Wes, where have you been?
Right? He said, sorry, guys, I needed a break. My favorite 4th of July memory was
Ouch.
I was in junior high visiting family in North Dakota for a month, and we had a 4th of July fireworks show at the lake. But we did our own show. In ND, I'm assuming that's the abbreviation for North Dakota, the larger fireworks are allowed, so we had a lot of fun. Best memory of it, though, was my uncle holding an empty tube and resting a firework inside of it and lighting it off. When it was shooting into the sky, the tail end of it burnt his arm. Quite funny. Cheers, Wes.
I love it when my uncle gets his arm burnt off.
Seriously.
By a firework. By a firework. In the ND.
What's the ND? Oh, North Dakota.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Sarah, don't feel left out. We don't have another email. We have two other emails, but we're going to save those for the next segment.
Fine.
So up next, we're going to talk about give announcements and whatnot. But next week's one and why, because if you remember, we talked about t-shirts a little bit this past week.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going through my t-shirts and I was like, man, some of these t-shirts I need to get rid of. But then some of them I was like, I really love these t-shirts. So I'd like to have a discussion next week about what our favorite t-shirt is and why. Would you guys be cool with that?
Yeah, I'd love that.
Do you have a favorite t-shirt?
I have some fave tees.
Good, good.
Fave
Are you just
tees.
Like, because of Wes's email, you're just shortening all your words?
Oh, I love
ND.
To breathe. Yeah.
All right.
NBD, everyone.
All right. Well, Lance, thanks for being here, dude. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we hope you continue to listen.
It's my pleasure.
Is that what they say at Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A plug.
All right, up next, we're going to have some announcements. Enjoy some more music. All right, we are back with the final segment here, and we're just going to read a couple emails that we got. Know that next week we will have a drawing for not a t-shirt, but I know that we have a fan named Melissa Scroggins who wrote us that thank you letter, and the thank you letter was just so nice. She was basically saying, maybe
so
it's Scroggins, I don't know, I hope it's Scroggins. I'm just going to call her
I
Melissa.
I think Scroggins.
Melissa S.
Melissa
she basically
S.
said... Sorry this is late. I've been on vacation and now trying to play catch up on all my correspondence. I hope you will forgive the tardiness of this card, but I'm truly thankful for all you do at the Spoutcast. I just wanted to send you a big thank you for my iTunes gift card. You guys are awesome. She also said she wanted the t-shirts, which inspired the one and why for next week. And
that's
like
she bought a card.
I know.
It could have
she
just
really
been an
did.
Email. She could have sent a text. No.
The card says, thank you, gracias, mercy.
Hi.
I don't know. Is mercy?
Merci.
Oh,
it's
merci.
French.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I thought you were making a joke.
And you also got an email that I need to apologize for, first of all. Last week, all right, I had said nobody's grateful or thankful for the iTunes gift cards that we get. And literally in the same exact day, I received this card and I received this email.
Wow. Okay. This is from Michael Elizondo. Don't know how to put it into words how excited and thankful I was when I found out that I won the Fast Five drawing. I was fired up, and I'm looking forward to spending my iTunes bucks. I was a fan of The Spout before, but now you're my favorite podcast. I know you asked for a thank you, Christian, so you guys may doubt the sincerity of these words, but I hope you don't. Thank you. You can even ask my wife. Have a great week, Michael.
He's a fan.
That's awesome. That's a really great, well-written email. Thanks, Michael.
Everyone should check out The Wild Turlock.
Totally. Everybody.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go right now.
We got one other email, and this is from, I feel like, Megan's arch nemesis, but not really Megan's arch nemesis. And his name is Andrew Blue.
Love that guy.
You said that with a bit of like condescendingness, but I'll keep reading. All right.
Okay.
He says, hey, all. So, I mean, he's at least acknowledging you. Okay. He says, just want to say that after 9 episodes, I finally liked The Spout on Facebook. If you haven't liked The Spout on Facebook, it's facebook.com/spoutcast. All right.
Yep.
Just, can you like The Spoutcast,
please?
What's
stopping you?
All right. You might be thinking that, wait, we've done more than 9 episodes. That is true. However, I only initially listened to 9. So there it is. I will say that for the most part, I was just too lazy to go and do it. I don't know what that even means.
To go and like us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook.
Oh, but when news reached my ears that Megan Jade was slandering my name up and down the web, I could wait no longer. So yeah, good news is that you gained one more like from a loyal listener. Are you slandering this person on Facebook?
No, I just wrote under the Spoutcast that donuts were gross.
Did you see someone's response to that?
About Michael Jordan.
That was funny.
I
right?
saw that response. It was funny. And what's even funnier is that Andrew wrote on our Facebook and said, I only liked this so that I could say to Megan, how dare you? So how dare you? And I wrote back and I said, that's the epitome of our advertising, because I try to make people angry so they go and like our Facebook so they can write on our wall.
Is that the goal?
I mean, not really, but I did make a mention that I'm like the Simon Cowell of the Spoutcast. You love and hate me.
No, I think people really enjoy you.
Oh, you're sweet. Thanks.
I mean, I think people really enjoy you.
What about me?
No, it's cool. I
want to just say this now. I really like Andrew. I think he's so funny, and he's fun to be around,
and he's
a good guy.
Let me keep reading.
Oh, okay.
Because he says, Christian, great job this Sunday. I didn't doubt you, but I was impressed. Kudos, okay? You know what the compliment I got the most was on Sunday? I don't know if this is necessarily a compliment, but it was like, what did they say?
You didn't screw it up.
They were like, I didn't know you had it in you. I'm like, thanks, dude.
Like they underestimated
you.
Yeah,
like
they were
shocked. I don't know. What am I, chopped liver? And I just feel like, all right, whatever.
You prove him wrong.
All right. And then he said, Andrew, I'm so excited to hear you this week, because he's on this episode. He says, the more I get to know you, the more I value the things you have to say. If that doesn't sound like a compliment, I'm sorry, because it's meant to be one, and I'm looking forward to what you have to say during sermon discussion. And I feel like Andrew's sermon discussion just brought me to tears.
That's great.
This is just not me.
Do you need tissue?
Do you know that we were in it too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I told you guys off air, I thought it was a great discussion, and I felt truly honored that I was part of the discussion for this Spoutcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do mean that. Then he closes up the email. Megan, I hope you don't view us as enemies, although you do seem to be my social media nemesis. In fact, I was just chatting with our good friend Stephanie recently, and we talked about her coming home and all of us hanging out as friends. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you feel the same. Smiley face.
I totally do feel the same. Right. And I was actually going to ask Andrew, and I'll ask him over the air. That I know he usually goes and sees. We do share a very common interest. We both love Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew goes and sees Harry Potter every year when it comes out with the Madeira crowd at midnight. And
with Brian?
Yeah, with Brian.
Brian!
My favorite episode, Brian. Anyways, and Brian's last name is Potter, so I wonder if he's related to Harry, you know? Anyways, so Andrew, if you're not going with the Madeira crowd, or if you are, I do know some people who I'm going to see Harry Potter with, and I would love to share that experience with you. It's not a date, though, okay? So don't give me ideas.
Love is in the air.
Ew.
This
will just like, you know, like...
No, totally.
Common
so bond. If you're listening and you want to go see Harry Potter, just join Megan Jade's group, because she's going to Harry Potter at midnight. So.
Weird. Now I'm going to make all kinds of new friends I don't want.
That's right. right. So, hey,
paparazzi,
just
paparazzi, don't go.
Yeah. In closing, a couple quick announcements. If you have kids, which one of our listeners, I can't think of her name right now.
Jennifer.
She does have kids, and she should go to Water Wars. It's this. It's July 14th. Check out more information at thewellcommunity.org. I'll show. Jeremiah Spears, our super fan.
Hello.
He's on a mission trip right now, so if you could be praying for him, there's going to be a dessert, a recap dessert, where you can come and enjoy some snacks. And that is August 6th. Check out the wellcommunity.org for information. Also, download us on iTunes, review us on iTunes, and hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. You guys know that stuff. We love our fans. This is The Spout. We're out.